everyone, and welcome to episode 581 of the MTG Goldfish Podcast. I'm Seth, probably better known as Saffron Olive, and we have the full crew here this week, kicking things off with the owner of MTG Goldfish, Richard. How are you this fine Monday, Richard?
Good morning, Seth. It's back to school in April.
Back to school.
Wait, what was our famous expression? Jace gets a D or something?
Don't remind me of that. Don't remind me.
Old timers.
This was Magic Origins.
This was Magic Origins.
A long time ago. But yes. I infamously gave Jace a failing grade and then ended up $100 in standard. So, you know, that might be my biggest spoiler season whiff of all time, honestly.
This was the flip Jace. The 0-2 Prodigy Jace that flips. Yep, Prince Prodigy.
Yep, and
it was a prodigy, Seth. It was added in the name. What kind of prodigy flunks out of
known.
School?
I should have known.
A mind mage, by the way.
And we also have our own mind mage in Krim. How's it going this morning, Krim? How are you?
Pretty excited. Funny that you mention, we're going back to school. Something that came out alongside this has me really excited, and it's, you know, I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm not the biggest Strixhaven fanboy, but you know what I am excited for? The books returning. And so there's actually a book that came out, so, like, you know, I can't wait to dig into it and read it. It's probably like some, like, young adult stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know, I miss the books. And maybe enough time has passed to where I can now finally say, all right, I've forgotten about War of the Spark as a book.
I think, Krim, once you get to the stage of your life where video games make you dizzy, reading books is a great hobby.
Yeah, dude. Hey, that is so unfortunate. For those that don't know what Seth is referencing, Resident Evil 9 came out, favorite game franchise. I'm hyping it up. I'm hyping myself up. I play it. Third person parts with Leon, I can play. First person part with Grace, I have to play that part in increments of like 20 minutes and then be horizontal in between because I'm getting motion sick. Oh man, dude, this sucks.
Anyway,
we have an important question though.
Yeah.
Is it new age Resident Evil where it's just like literally a shooter where you run around and shoot things? Or is it classic? By classic, if they haven't done this for like 20 years, where it's super slow paced, puzzle oriented. Once a year, something attacks you, you get scared, you kill it. Or is it like actually like just Halo?
I got great news for you. It's both. They made two games.
What?
Leon's part is the one where like
part is
I
different?
Kick.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really cool. They essentially almost made like two games. Leon's part, I kick a zombie and they explode and 15 of them go flying. Grace's part is like, I'm a desk clerk and I don't really know how to fight. So that part is the one where like I'm tense and puckered up and just absolutely in fear the whole time playing it. But yeah, so it's both.
That actually sounds kind of cool. I've never been a Resident Evil player, but that actually does sound like kind of neat, the two games in one. But
it's
anyway.
So neat that I get motion sick.
Well, that's what the Strixhaven novel is for, Krim. You can even read that in between your 20-minute sessions. Yeah,
I'm doubling up my reading.
Anyway, today, if you haven't picked it up from the intro, our big topic, we got some early Secrets of Strixhaven spoilers. So, spoiler season officially kicks off tomorrow, but we got some early stuff that's pretty interesting, so we want to talk about our early Secrets of Strixhaven spoilers, and then after that, if we got more time, there's a new secret lair drop, the Miro's teaser for Strixhaven came out, there's some weird old-school magic artist copyright news, so we might get into some of those smaller topics as well. But before we do all that, a reminder that today's show is brought to you by Card Conduit, the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip them with Card Conduit. You can use their curated service where you send in as many cards as you want with a buy list value of $1 or more and pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to do a bit of work, you can use their sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay just a 2% fee. Either way, you're going to get a detailed report with the results in a fast payment once your order is processed. And you can even get another 10% off by heading over to cardconduit.com/mtggoldfish. Card Conduit, it's the easiest easiest way to sell your magic cards. Our show's also brought to you by Heavy Play Advanced Gaming Equipment. The RFG Deck Box Max features a clear window to showcase your commander while protecting your deck. Available in three different sizes to fit all of your decks, including your standard and commander decks, the EquipMag system lets you attach optional dice boxes and even multiple decks together. So head over to heavyplay.com/mtggoldfish or use the code mtggoldfish at checkout to save 10% off. So thank you to our sponsors for supporting the show. And let's talk some magic. And we're going to kick things off with Secrets of Strixhaven. So from, I believe it was PAX East over the weekend, we had a handful of spoilers. We got a whole cycle of charms, and these charms are actually kind of insane to the point where I feel like they might be the best charm cycle that has ever been made, which is kind of high praise because charms are traditionally really good. So let's start there. Richard, why don't you walk us through some Secrets of Strixhaven spoilers?
All right. We are using weird extreme angle pictures. Okay. Yes. So this is from PAX East. Wizards has not officially released these images. And apparently the only ones with cameras are sitting on the very edges. Okay, so Silver Quill Charm. It's Orzhov. So, oh, no. No, it's Silver Quill. It's not Orzhov. It's Silver
Quill. Yeah, it's in the name.
It's white, black, instant. Choose one. So these are choose one charms. Put two +1/+1 counters on target creature. Exile target creature with power 2 or less. Each opponent loses 3 life and you gain 3 life.
I feel like this one's good. I feel like in the context of the cycle, I honestly think this one might be one of the weaker ones. What I see when I read this charm is I think 2-mana exile creature with power 2 or less, that's a decent mode. I think that's the kind of the foundational mode of this charm. When I think of charms, you usually play it for one mode in specific, and then you get like incidental value out of the other modes. So I think you play this as a removal spell for Badger Mole Cub and other small creatures. And then sometimes, you know, draining for 3, like a Lightning Helix, that only hits face is good. Every once in a while, maybe you can put counters on something in combat and trade with a bigger creature. What do you think about this one, Krim? Is this like standards playable? Like, how strong do you think this could be in standard?
Outside of Groll Charm, I feel like almost every charm has a home, right? And I don't see why this one would be any different. This one looks super, it looks decent, right? It's not bad. I like the exile part, but I do believe the Helix part and the 1-1 part will come into play. Mostly just because, I don't know, you know that black-white Sephiroth deck that shows up here and there?
Mm-hmm.
I think this deck could play that. That Raise the Past style deck. It's good removal, but on top of that, it drains you when sometimes you just need a little bit more reach because, you know, with enough Blood Artist pings, I think you can get there. And anything with this much versatility at 2-mana is super solid.
The other home I thought of, which this hasn't developed into like a legit top tier standard deck, but I do see it on the ladder. People play it is like some sort of Ketramos deck. In Ketramos, you get the exile mode that triggers Ketramos. The drain for 3 actually is kind of relevant because I've definitely seen some people kill themselves with their own Ketramos by triggering it too much and then dying. So gaining back 3 life is good. And then, I don't know, maybe put some counters on the indestructible Ketramos and get an even bigger attacks. So I think it'd be really good in the Ketramos shell too.
And don't forget everyone's favorite, Soulwarden.deck, but with the bats.
Oh, God.
The bats deck does pop up a lot, dude. I swear. I don't know why, but people cannot kill.
It's because it's adjacent to the life gain deck, Krim. That's the natural progression of an arena player. You start with your Johnny's Pride mates, and then after about 6 months, you graduate to bats because it's still life gain, but you actually can win.
Bats. I didn't know that was graduation.
That is the progression of an arena player. Richard. What do you think about this one? Is this card any good?
You know, I had like a New Year's resolution to be more positive, you know?
Today is not that day, Seth. This is complete trash. What are you guys talking about?
Well, you need to kill something. Ugh.
If there is some weird like charm deck, like I don't know, like think like Niv-Mizzet, where you're incentivized to like play these weird pips and there's some extra synergy, maybe. But these are 3 of the most terrible modes that I would never, ever want to spend 2 mana, let alone 2 mana of, like, double pips to do, like, that's your removal spell? Exile target creature with power 2 or less? No way. No way you're putting this in your deck, right? Like, zero
chance. I would play this for sure.
I mean, I don't know if you think
you're going to cut your real removal for the off chance that you do some weird lightning helix shenanigans? Like, no way. Right?
Okay, but lightning helix shenanigans combined with, like, I don't know, enduring tenacity or something like that. That's a six burger. Right there.
So
that's
you're playing
awesome.
Healing Solve. So if you're going to use it on the third mode, you're playing Healing Solve to get your life gains. Like
Healing Solve plus. Okay. I know that it sounds bad when you say
so
Healing
bad.
Solve.
I know. I don't know if I'd say the removal is so bad. It actually does hit a lot of stuff. If you think about the most popular creatures in Standard, it hits Llanowar, it hits Badger Mulcub, it hits Slickshot Showoff, Elusive Otter, Ice Tail Explorer, Zaz Chocobo, Mossborn Hydra, assuming you get the timing right, Voice of Victory, Draycatcher, Grand Grant. So it hits like a decent amount of stuff. My concern is it is 2 mana. And like in a world of Badger Mulcub, especially with how fast Standard is, I don't know if you can realistically be answering it for 2 mana, especially if you're on the draw without falling too far behind. So I don't know if this is actually going to replace the 1 mana removal that can kill same things. So I think I have this pegged as like middle of the pack out of these charms, like towards the bottom. But I could still see a role for this. I don't think this is a
staple.
You're
ever cut down? That was a removal spell. This is most of the time you're losing out on mana playing this. Right, and a lot of times you can't even play this because it's double pip. If I play Llanowar Elf, you untap a Silver Quill charm. I think I'm fist bumping, like the amount of tempo loss versus
tempo.
Right? Like,
I don't know about fist bumping, but there is the tempo, the tempo swing.
It's not 2 mana. I expect unconditional removal. You know what I mean? Unconditional
on a charm.
In fact, I expect like beyond creature removal for 2 mana. Right? Like, you know, we're talking like. The 2+1+1 counters, totally, like, for a pump spell, this is, like, really bad. And then the lightning helix, I just can't imagine
Gix's command. So Gix's command had a similar 2+1+1 counter mode, and Gix's command was really good. That mode wasn't chosen often, but there were definitely times where I got super blown out because you don't play or you don't expect people to choose that mode. So you can get really blown out by the 2+1+1 counters. I don't think that's a mode you choose. That's like a 5% of the time mode or 2% of the time mode. But the percent of the time that you do pick it, it can be a really big blowout to just suddenly have a creature get, you know, +2/+2 in combat.
You're expecting removal mode to be like 90% of the time, right?
Yes.
It exiles. No. It exiles. That's a thing, right? But 2 or less power, like, bro, that's not removal.
But Richard, versatility at 2. Yes, this is not going to be cut down. This is not replacing my hexes. But this is such
a... What is it replaced then? Your card draw? Your threat?
It's
your removal? What is it replacing?
It's a utility spell. I think you could shave numbers, but I'm always happy to shave numbers around multiple cards.
Oh, this is the Crim Singleton deck. There's always room for a Silver Quill charm.
There's
one of each
room.
One of each charm.
Hey, you have one spell snare, and if you always draw it, that's what it's here for. Singleton Silver Quill.
Let's go to the rest of the charms, and then we kind of rank them all after we go through them. Talk about which one's best or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe the other ones are more doo-doo. That this is like the best one.
No.
Lorehold charm.
I think this is.
Is Boros. So red and white instant. Choose one. Each opponent sacrifices a non-token artifact of their choice. Return target artifact or creature card's mana value 2 or less from the graveyard. From your graveyard to the battlefield, creatures you control get +1/+1 and gain trample until end of turn.
This card is so good. This card is so good, right? Like, you cannot tell me. No, I'm being so serious.
I can't tell. I seriously cannot tell.
What?
You know,
what's wrong with this card?
Wait, you don't like this one either, Richard?
So if the meta is non-token artifacts, I could see you playing this.
There's already
otherwise, like, again, it's like does nothing, right? It's like a bunch of like ineffective cards you would never play on their own. I could see this in the sideboard if for whatever reason we got artifacts to kill and then the rest of it synergizes. But even then,
Richard, hear me out.
Shatter's been around for the beginning of time for 2 mana. no pip requirements.
But this is better than okay, hold the phone here. Okay. 2 mana instant speed return Voice of Victory. Is that not
okay.
good? Is that not
that's
good?
That's contingent on having a Voice of Victory in the yard, but yes.
Usually right? It dies immediately because of removal. Now, let's say you have said Voice of Victory, you don't need to reanimate, then you can also pump. This is a big, like, believe it or not, 2 mana giving your creatures 1/1 and trample, That's a lot of aggression. And then each opponent sacking a non-token artifact of their choice, the non-token part tells me everything, and there's lots of stuff. For starters, if you're in the Boros deck, there's a motto I like to say, and it's Star Cage is not real and nobody plays it. And every time I do, somebody plays that card and I lose all of my board. So being able to hit that or hit like maybe a Solemn Simulacrum or a Simulacrum Synthesizer. Or the, of course, that deck Synthesizer does have a few things that come down before it. But like, it's nice to know that I have outs to stuff like that and an instant speed reanimate. Anything two value or less, that's really good right now.
I mean, it's
so much stuff.
It also snipes Monument very well against lessons because they don't have other artifacts on the battlefield, and that's pretty relevant in current standard. And get rid of hate cards if you're in the right deck, if you're like a Soul Guide Lantern or a Pithy Needle or something's messing up your day. I think this card's actually very good. I think that we don't have a top-tier home for it in Standard. I don't think there's a top-tier Boros deck that would play this. There is, like, a Boros token deck that, I don't know if you've seen the cheap creatures that make tokens. Sometimes they play the Pingers and, like, O'Hare Axelon. I think that deck, where you can get back Stadium Headliner or Voice of Victory or Bella, really good. Plus, trampling up your team, if you're going wide with 1/1s, is actually very, very powerful in, like, an Anum Pakel deck. My hot take on this card is this is going to be, like, a Modern card. I actually think you play this in like Modern Boros Energy in the sideboard. Like, it gets back a Johnny. It can get back and flip a Johnny. You got Ragavans and Ocelot Prides. Affinity's like one of the big four decks right now, so you can make them sack an artifact. Plus, like, you end up in these weird board stalls sometimes with the energy deck where you go really wide, but your creatures are really small. The +1/+1 and trample seems decent. So I don't know if you main deck it, but I think this is actually, at least in the conversation, for the best deck in Modern for sideboard slots. Nah, not buying it, Richard.
I can almost buy it. I can almost buy for Modern, but zero chances. The only thing I can think of is like, you're this like weird combo deck and you use Voice of Victory, right? They have to snipe it on your turn and then you Lore Hole Charm, bring it back, untap, win. But like, what weird combo deck is this that like requires this setup? And this doesn't excuse the hand of like 3 Lore Hole Charms. That's an insta mulligan. You know what I mean? Like, yes, if you play the dork, they remove it. You're like, haha, I got a second one. You could just play a second, like the unconditional one, right? So I don't see it. I could see it if we're like artifact heavy, but I don't know. Like +1/+1 and tramp. Like, is there a Monstrous Rage type card that is being played? Like, maybe you just use the trample
mode. That
card
is banned, Richard.
Yeah, but like we always have one of these like trample giving cards. Okay, we have plenty of them. So why would I need Lorehold Charm?
But my problem with this card, so here's the downside. I don't see like the foundational mode on this one. Like, what's the reason for me to put this in my deck? Unless I'm like weird reanimator deck where I'm trying to like get back something special. Like, we see Helping Hands get back Oculus or whatever. Like, I'm doing something like that with the second mode, maybe. I don't think you play this as artifact destruction in the main deck. I'm not sure the trample mode is good enough as main deck, so I guess I'm left with reanimation, and that seems like a little narrow. So that's kind of my concern. I feel like all the modes do something that I think is decent. I just don't know if any of them are strong enough to make me put it in my deck to begin with.
I'm learning you guys love charms.
I do love charms.
Yeah.
The value, Richard. Charms. The value.
There's no value. It's a one for one.
Your
flexibility.
You're still getting to the good ones, Richard. This is still
okay,
low
here
tier,
we go.
Low tier.
I've been promised. Okay, they're so good. We gotta go super sideways on this Witherbloom charm. It's Golgari. So black and a green. Instant. Choose one. You may sacrifice a permit. If you do, draw 2 cards. Second mode, you gain 5 life. Third mode, destroy target non-land permanent with mana value 2 or less. Okay,
we
talk
decay.
That's unconditional removal for you, Richard. Plus some card draw. Things are going bad.
That's not unconditional removal.
Well,
but
it is
in the standard.
what do you call that card? The classic like 2 mana sack a creature draw thing, draw 2,
like a
like
deadly
village
dispute
rights
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, deadly dispute,
rights.
Whatever. Like those cards see play. So
and this
in the right
you
deck,
sack a land even, which is kind of irrelevant
any
in the late game. Yeah.
Map tokens, whatever, right?
Yep.
So maybe if such a deck exists, but you wouldn't slam this in like a random Golgari deck or, you know, random mid-range control, whatever, right? This is specifically a sacrifice deck that you would throw this in, right?
I mean, I could, I would see this in, of course, you know, what's the two-mana enchantment? The thing that spawns tokens when things leave the graveyard again, Seth? Insidious Roots.
Yep.
I could see this in, there's a world where Sultai, the Reanimator Superior Spider-Man deck could play this, but that'd be like in low, super low quantities. Other than that, I mean, like what, Abzan, like aristocrat-y stuff could also do this. Any kind of aristocrat deck will definitely want this. And last time we saw Witherbloom, we saw like pests flying out the wazoo, right? So like there's just pests everywhere. So I don't know if that's going to be a thing this time around, but you know, we'll see, I guess. Because there's a lot of, there's a big asterisk on all of this, by the way, I feel like we should state. And it's that we don't know what actually comes out in the set. And so, like, I'm very curious to see if Witherbloom and the pest making is back. Because then I really like that first mode.
Yeah, we'll see with the pest. Even without the pest, though, you can sack Earthbent lands. You can sacrifice maps and clues and any of that kind of stuff. So I think the card's really good. The removal mode, very similar to Witherbloom Command, which is a card that when it came out, I was kind of like, I don't know if this card's that good. And that sees modern play to this day, and it has basically the same removal mode. Destroy target non-creature, non-land permanent mana value 2 or less. So this actually has even a better removal mode. Gets rid of the hate cards, gets rid of Cool But Rude. It actually hits on a lot of things. So I think this one's really good. I think the combination of removal that hits pretty much any cheap thing, including non-creature permanents, and just being able to cash into draw cards, I think it's sneaky powerful to, like, just when you flood out, it reminds me of, I think it was Perilous Research from Aya Cold Snap that let you just sack any permanent to draw two. I think it's actually a really powerful mode at instant speed. You can sack a creature that's going to die to removal. You can sack an extra land if you're just flooding out. So I actually think this is a charm that I would play in a lot of decks. And then you can always, I don't think you'd play this to gain five, but if you run to aggro and you're about to die to a Slickshot Show Off or something, like gaining five can actually be a very, even though it's not efficient, a very strong mode situationally. So I think this one's actually one of the best ones, maybe.
It's all right. I mean, it has uses, but
that's
like,
high praise from you, Richard. That's high praise. All right is like S tier for Richard.
Like the old commands were choose two, okay? Like it's inherent card advantage, right? This is like you get a sign in blood or you get like an abrupt decay, like a two mana abrupt decay. It's all right, like, you know, it's like it's fine, like it's not like we didn't know, like if they printed sign in blood we wouldn't be like oh my goodness, sign in blood, like so good, right? You just be like maybe
sign in blood, like, depending. Plus
maybe it's also removal,
like,
though.
Maybe so it depends on what your removal suite needs to look like. Right? Because again, where does this go? Right? If you're like, I'm going to remove all my removal to play this, right? And then this has the upside of drawing cards that I don't need removal, except people are just slamming like four mana value permanents you need to remove, then you're out of luck. Right? So it's going to depend what the meta looks like, but it's a choose one. It's not a choose two, right? So it's either a sign in blood or an abrupt decay. And would you guys be singing, you know, the praises of either one of those? It's just like, I can see you as a role player, you know? I can see it being played somewhere, but are you super excited? You're like, I drew Witherbloom Charm, I'm winning this game. It's like, no, not really, right? It's like, it's okay.
I don't feel bad.
The hate piece that's keeping my deck locked down. Yeah. I
mean, but what if the hate piece is three mana value?
But yeah, that doesn't happen in 2026. Everything's too efficient. But really, like, are all charms kind of like this? Like, I don't know. If you look at charms that saw play in the past, like Azorius Charm or Boros Charm or whatever, like, if you read the individual modes, like, you're kind of like, okay, like, sure. But then when you add them all together, they're really good.
Wait, what is the newest charm that saw play? Like, a legitimate amount of play?
Oh, that's a good question. When was the last time we had real charms?
Strixhaven.
I feel we have this conversation every 6 months, so like I'm sure they've been made. We just don't see them played, right?
Well, we're not talking about commands. We've had
commands are right. Always like two for ones, like inherently, yes. Right?
So I think there was
Archmage's
Charm.
Archmage's Charm in Modern Horizons.
That's Modern
but
Horizons.
That,
enemy
was
from,
actually
from Edge.
The three mana, three color ones from cons, like Sultai Charm, Naya Charm, Abzan Charm. Like, I think those were the next batch. So it's actually been a minute since we've had
No. But what about Capenna?
Did we have charms in?
Yes. There were.
Yeah, we had Obscura Charm, but the one that was played was the Maestro's Charm in the combo deck. And then we also had Let me see.
Oh, the three mana ones. Are they not called charm? Oh, I see. Yeah, they are. Yeah. Like Riveteer's Charm, Obscure Charm. Yeah, Riveteer's Charm, the three mana ones.
One-off sideboard cards randomly, right? Like,
yeah, but the three color three mana was a thing. But if we're not counting like Archenemy Charm, right, from Edge of Eternities, because
yeah, that's kind of its own thing a little bit.
Okay. So then the last batch of two. Wait, doesn't Tarkir Dragonstorm have charms? I can't remember.
I don't believe so.
No, right? Okay, so then
I'm pretty sure no.
Then yeah, like I guess prior to that would probably be Capenna, and those were just like misers. But I think because of the three mana, the last time we had like a bunch of two mana charms.
It's been a while.
Back to Azorius Charm. Like,
you're talking like 10, 15 years ago.
That was a quaint time where you could actually play that card, right?
I would still play Azorius Charm.
Is like, oh, I can see it popping up. I would not be shocked if someone played it.
The next one's okay. The one, Richard. The next one. If you don't like this one, then I don't even know what we're doing anymore.
Oh, okay. You got me with the Into the Flood Bomb. Prismari Charm. Blue and a red instant. Surveil 2, draw a card. Deals one damage to each of one or two permanents or targets, not permanents, targets. Return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. All
right,
this one's a good one, right?
It's in like the best colors in standard. It does everything.
It has card advantage or tempo written all over it. Okay, the Prismari Charm sniping two Llanowar Elves. That is chef's kiss. Okay, that like you would play that on like a normal card. Right.
Yeah. And the bounce is nice.
The bounce on anything, that's just like a Cyclonic Rift, right? It's like a kind of bad unsummon, but that's still pretty good. You know what I mean? Like they play a four drop, you bounce it, you get the tempo back, and you get to choose. Right when they are a low to the ground deck where the bouncing doesn't matter, the one damage probably wrecks their face. Right. So this one is actually good. I think.
And then worst case, you can always preordain. Like the floor is worst case. You better preordain because you're surveilling rather than scrying. So it's even an upgrade. But what is that? Consider we had one of those. The Demir like hybrid split card, I think, was surveil.
Oh, yeah. Discover.
Discover. Yeah, that's what it was. Something discover. But I think this one, like this has to be good. Right, Krim? Is it all over the top of the standard meta? It's not a lesson, Is it prowess? Currently the number one deck in the format. This card seems great to me. Like, as Richard was saying, it deals with multiple small things or one big thing. In worst case, you can always dig to find something better. It seems like it's almost impossible for this card to ever really be truly bad. But what do you think, Grim? How good is this one?
Every Izzet deck wants this. So, yeah, this is a staple. I don't think I need to reiterate it any other way other than Eddie Crab is going to be very happy with this, right? Because you get to surveil to draw a card. Yeah, like... Everything, every mode on this one. This is by far the best one.
It's even better, too, because the bounce mode is you can bounce your own stuff. So you can still do the Storm Chaser's talent loops and so forth.
In modern design have been like bounce your opponent's stuff.
Only your opponent's thing, yeah. So it does the loop with the Storm Chaser's talent, too. So this card does absolutely everything. It does make me a little salty to see Izzet getting even better. We already have like three top tier Izzet decks. I don't think we need Izzet to get another great card.
Seth, it's Prismari.
Oh,
Prismari.
All right. It's all better.
Prismari got better.
we can skip the last one if you want. We don't even have to talk about this
wait,
one.
Are we still Fire Magic gaming? This is like straight upgrade, I think, right? If you were playing Magic.
I would say Twin
Fire Magic hits everything, though, right? So you can get
sure.
Rid of the
I mean,
board,
like, how often
are
you trying to get like 6/1/1s, right? Normally, it's like two otters and you're good to go. But this like transforms into your fifth Into the Flood Maw, if you want, right? So
I do like that it can kill a Badgermole Cub. It can kill two Llanowar Elves, or it can bounce your opponent's like massive thing they reanimated or something. It's so good.
The thing I like, so here's what makes this a good charm. All of the modes complement each other in that if one mode is bad, the other one is probably really good. Right? So, you know, if you're not able to kill things with one damage, bouncing is probably gonna be really good, right? So I really like that. Whereas the other charms are like three random things and they're all kind of mediocre. You may or may not want to play them. But like this one actually covers all of the weaknesses of the modes. All right. Last one. Quandrix Charm. Simic. Will they make a bad Simic card? Choose one. Counter target spell unless it's controller pays two. That's Quench. Destroy target enchantment. Target creature has base power and toughness 5/5 until end of turn.
This has got to be the worst one, right? Like, to me, reads like the weakest of the bunch.
Really?
Like, in my brain, I see Quench as being unplayable because we've had it before. I know it'll Quench as he's a little play right now, but that's because it's a lesson. It's never been good if it doesn't have the lesson subtype on it, at least historically. So Quench, I don't think is good. Demystify, I just don't think is relevant enough as a main deck card in current standard. Like, artifacts I kind of care about. I don't know if I care about main deck enchantment removal. And then I guess the pump spell's fine. Maybe like the prowess deck. Some people play, you probably know this one, Krim. It's like a Spider-Man card and it's got two modes, and one is you turn the thing into like a 4/5 until end of turn.
Hidden identity.
I've seen people playing that a little bit in like some of the prowess decks. So maybe this kind of could do something similar as like make your thing big pump spell, but I don't know. I'm pretty skeptical. I had this one ranked at the very bottom, but am I missing something? Is this one actually good?
I believe it or not, don't forget about enchantments. Okay, there's still a lot of stuff that Orzhov, skeleton, you know, the one that just generates tokens, right?
Yep,
that deck exists, and sometimes if the counterspell is irrelevant, then maybe being able to just pick off whatever you care about in the enchantment is very nice.
Yeah, I guess now, you got Cool But Rude, Caretaker's Talent. So there are a few good enchantments.
You still got a lot. You got the Otter enchantment itself. There's a lot of enchantments. I would almost say that there's as many problematic enchantments as there are artifacts. The problem here is a lot of modern removal is either or, killing one or the other, not both. Yeah. At least the good ones. And then the base power 5/5, this is the only mode where I thought it gave hexproof or something like that.
Nope.
This is the only mode where I'm like, I don't know if I care about this one. It's decent, I guess, if you run into that mono, what is it, like the prowess decks. There's like a Simic one that runs around using the otters as well, or teamer, either or, right? But would you play this anywhere else? I mean, as of right now, no.
Like, I don't think, like, I can't imagine playing the Badger Mole decks. It doesn't seem great there. And that's what I think of mostly with Simic.
What?
But
wait, maybe
you mean the deck that generates so much mana, you can actually hold up your Quench?
Well, think about this.
My opponent can just generate mana and pay for my Quench. That's kind of the issue.
but the Badger Mole deck would make. Do they play this though?
Does it break the mirror? You pump your Boroid or whatever to a 5/5.
It actually is insane,
like,
with
super
a Boroid,
giant.
Although the problem is like, if your Boroid sticks, I'm dead anyway. Like, isn't that way more like?
Well, for the mirror, we're talking about specifically for the mirror here. If I have a larger one.
I think this
is the second best charm. Like,
wow.
What? Okay, hold on.
Wow, no.
How?
Because there are metas where you could play Quench.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe we're not in the Quench meta, but like, that is not an embarrassing card to be playing. And the pump is relevant. And then again, there's metas where you can main deck enchantment removal. So I actually think this is, aside from the Jeskai, not the Jeskai one, the Izzet one, like the best one, right? Like, these are not embarrassing pieces to play. Like, a Quench will still get you if you play on curve and thing, whatever, right? And if you want to, you know, slow down the game because you're scared of my charm, great. You know what I mean? So I actually think this is the second best charm out of all of them.
Interesting. Well, I was going to ask you, I want to know your rankings, or at least what you think the worst and the best. If you don't want to rank all five, you don't have to. But what do you think the best? Let's start with best. For standard first, what's your pick for best charm? Is it just unanimous Prismari is number one? Like, are we all in agreement on that one?
Yeah, but the Prismari one's insane.
Okay, what's number two then? If we all agree Prismari's number one, Richard goes with Simic or with Quandrix. What's your number two behind Prismari, Krim?
Ah, that's tough. I think behind that, I really like the Lorehold one. I also really like the Witherbloom one. I think it might be Witherbloom. Because I think green and black, that's just, okay, the gain 5 life or whatever, that part's irrelevant. Unless we have some kind of like a life gain, you know, again, Enduring Tenacity style deck, right? But like,
And there was a life gain theme last time we went to Strixhaven. Like, remember all the pests and Dina and stuff? So maybe Golgari, like, life gain, life loss will be a thing once we see the set. So maybe it makes more sense once we get more spoilers.
Yeah, then you could throw in, like, some Abzan stuff, maybe add in the white life gain. I really like Witherbloom mostly just because of that removal half right there. That abrupt decay side is really nice.
It's not called abrupt decay, boys. What can we call it? We must have had one of these before, no? Is there, what is the actual two mana? There's no two mana remove anything thing in.
I'm trying to. I know it's on Witherbloom Command, but I'm trying to think if there's one that just does that. Not off the top of my head.
Yeah, not off the top of my head, but either way, I like this charm a lot just for the versatility. And then, like you had mentioned, you could sack anything to draw cards, and that's nice.
That is also my number two. I'm pretty set on Prismari number one, Witherbloom number two. Beyond
I can
that,
see Simic number what,
what's
three.
What's the
actually.
Gap though? What's the gap between the two? Because to me, it's like. A tier, and then, like, I don't know, C or D for the next charm.
Okay,
like,
it's not even close. All of these are playable. I think every one of these are playable. And then the gap is really Prismari at the top at, like, S. And then, like, you know, Witherbloom somewhere around A. And then the rest are, like, maybe B.
I would probably put Prismari as S. And then maybe I'd start the next batch at... A B, maybe you can argue A for Witherbloom, but it's probably S for Prismari.
Gosh,
and then
really
like
these.
B, 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 C type stuff. Yeah, I think Prismari is insane. I think that card's so good in Standard.
Do you agree, though, that I, like, Seth, I know, Richard, you don't, but, like, don't you think that all of these are at least playable in Standard? Like, not like I could legally register it for a tournament, because obviously. Yeah. I think
they all have a chance to be playable. And I think that would track with what we've seen with charms in the past, that most of them are like, if there's a deck of their colors, they're good enough to see some play. I will say the ones I'm most skeptical of personally, Quandrix, I'm very skeptical of. That would be my most skeptical. And then I think Silver Quill might be the next one where I'm just worried that one's too slow, but I still think it has uses. The only one I'm actually, like, really struggling with is Quandrix. That would be the one. If I had to pick one where I'm like,
surprised. Quandrix is the one
I don't know
that you
if that's playable. Quandrix
on.
Is the one that I'm lowest on. What are you guys lowest on? What would you put as, even granting that you think they're all playable, what do you think that just the least played one will be, Krim, for Standard?
I think that's got to be the Silver Quill one might be the weakest right now. And I'm not saying that, you know, the Quandrix one is that much farther ahead, because I do think that that alone is also sitting somewhere in a B. Not bad, but yeah, not too far ahead of Silver Quill Charm.
What do you have as your rankings, Richard?
It's Lorehold or Silver Quill at the bottom. Probably the bottom. Silver Quill. I really see no purpose for that. Lorehold, I could see if there were artifact decks. Like, you know, like if we were playing, is it Cutters or something? Like, oh, I got to remove this thing on two. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
My question to you guys, when you guys say playable, what do you really mean? Do you mean four of in the deck? One of in the deck? One of in the sideboard of the deck? Like, what are we talking about when we say playable? Because even Prismari, I think it's like a one or two of in the sideboard. Like, I don't think you're four of main decking it anywhere, you think?
I think that card is main deck, like, in high quantities.
I think it could be four of main. I think it's main deck for sure, and I think it could be four of main deck. Maybe it's, like, three or something, but I think it actually could be. I would say that one's potentially a four of main deck card.
Of them, that one is.
That could work.
I think
work,
that's
but,
an auto
you have
four
Flood Maws, you have four Stock. Like what do we.
Stock Up doesn't Twin Bolt or Bounce. And the Surveil is so good, especially
in are you
in
really
any
cutting
Murkrow.
Stock up? No, right? You're going to play them in conjunction with each other, which means you're lowering these numbers down to 2, 1, whatever, moving to the side, etc., right?
I think maybe you can, like... So you're playing Boomerang Basics. You're playing Sleight of Hand. I feel like maybe you can trim in, like... Thing that only does one thing, right? Sleight of Hand only does one thing at cantrips. What if I could also have a cantrip that could also bounce my Storm Chaser's talent? So maybe you trim back on some of the four ofs that only do one thing and play this because it kind of does multiple things and does the one thing. So
believe
I think
it or
like,
not,
Into the Flood Maw maybe goes for this or something, a copy or two. And you end up
I will
four.
Say that, like, Is It Prowess may be the one that wants to keep most things at one mana, because anything at two is going to be like Eddie Murkrab or Slickshot, right?
That's true. Yeah, harder to chain together a bunch of spells at two mana.
But then, like, Spellementals, that one, I think that one will easily, I know that the Surveil 2 alone, I could trim maybe a copy of like Sleight of Hand, right? And then like just, or Abandoned Attachments. These are things that I would throw into the sun along with, I mean, Lessons maybe won't trim Abandoned Attachments because it cares about the lesson type more than anything. But I would be willing to like maybe, you know, I think Lessons is a lock. I think maybe this is more Spellementals and or Prowess in numbers. And Prowess will be the one that maybe will only have like 1 to 2 copies, but Spellementals could be 3 to 4.
I will say, to answer your question more, Richard, beyond just this one card, I feel like the rest of them, when I say playable, I mean, maybe a couple copies show up in the main or side. I could see there being like a deck that wants four, the Witherbloom Charm. If there's some sort of sack deck, I could see that being a possibility. But most of them, like Silver Quill Charm, I could see 1 or 2 being part of your removal package. Same with the Simic one. So that's mostly where I'm at. I'm not saying these are all 4 of main deck cards, but Prismari, I think, probably is.
I'm convinced these are all meta calls. Even Prismari, I'm not happy to run unless, like, Fire Magic is good. You know, like, there's a bunch of otters running around. There's a bunch of Llanowar elves. If we are not in that meta, I'm not happy with a 2-mana unsummon type card, right? Because we do have Flood Maw into, you know, Boomerang, etc., right? We have much more efficient cards. So, like, they really need to, like, pre-board against the meta. Like, everyone playing Llanowar elves? Great. We're just going to wreck everyone's face. Or we're all playing Izzet and everyone's playing otters? This is the perfect counter to that, right? So to me, it's like a sideboard card, and you could main deck the sideboard card, right? It's we call it a meta call at this point, right? It's not so like terrible that it does nothing against other decks. It still does something, but you're really bringing it in to like wreck someone. And to me, that's the X1s, the Ren and Six check, the well, what is the other
what
one?
About,
I guess it was Ren and Six, right? Everyone has to be a 1-2 now.
Six,
yeah.
But I mean, I feel like the meta is in that place right now,
yes,
though, right? Because
yeah,
of between Prowess and Badger Mole Cubs, like a huge percent of the meta is either making 1/1 Prowess tokens or trying to do Badger Mole, Mana Dorky type things. So I think we are in the meta. Maybe it shifts in the future and it's not as appealing, but I would say right now we are in a meta where it would line up really well.
I think that the, any play that allows you to instant speed bring back Voice of Victory is worth a look, dude. I'm sorry. That is so good. Or
your proactive deck? Then this is like a non-proactive card?
No. Boros, there's a lot of things like Boros Dragons, Boros Tokens. Those exist, and they're out there, and I see them in a good amount of numbers, right? And like being able to return your Momo, things like that can be big, or a Doorkeeper Thrall in response, right? Once somebody answers it, you can bring it back. There's a lot of utility in Lorehold, and you have the Gwen Stacy decks, the Gwen Stacy mid-range decks. Like, these are all very playable. I think every one of these...
But
we
don't play these cards. Like, historically, when they're on a more efficient single card, we don't play reanimate, like, a 2-drop out of my yard, right? Because the theory is, play more 2-drops, or play the protection spell, or whatever, because you get the hands of, like, well, I have 3 Lorehold Charms. It's an instant ball, right? Like, I can't do anything with this. So historically, we've never played those effects, even though there's always some scenario where it's, like, amazing, right? Like, you play your Badger Mole Cub, they kill it, you get a bat, you know? Like, there's always some, but a lot of times is they played Elf, you have Lorehold Charms, and then you pass the turn with your sad cards, right?
I mean, the problem with Lorehold Charm is, I think it is the one most likely to just get caught in your hand. All the other ones have some mode that makes me think, I'm going to get value out of this at some point. Like, 3 of them, I can kill something. Quandrix, I can either counter something or pump something. So I can, all I need is you to cast a spell or a creature. Laurel does have, like, some hoops. I need something in the graveyard. I need several creatures on the battlefield. You need an artifact. So it does seem like the highest risk, highest reward. Man, maybe not even highest reward, but the highest risk as far as potentially being stuck in your hand just by not having anything to do with it.
Just to show you guys, I can think positively. You know when Lorehold Charm would go hard? When Izzet Cutter was still around, right?
Oh, so getting back the Cutter? Oh, God, yeah.
So it gets back a Cutter, it kills a Cutter, and then it gives your token army
your
like a
token.
+2/+2 because it's a prowess trigger and trample, right? Because, like, those stupid otters and monks get huge, and then you can chump them, right? So this actually would go so hard if we had Izzet Cutter. This would be S if we had Izzet, not Izzet, but just Cutter in the format, right? But we don't. I'm glad. It kind of does nothing, right? But like all three modes were made exactly for that meta, right? Destroys your opponents, saves your own or gets it back, and then pumps your wide board that is actually quite big because they're all prowess tokens and gives them the trample. So
let me ask you guys one more question about the charms before we hit up one other card. Then we got some fish mail too. What about for Commander? What would be your number one for Commander? Or are these not even Commander cards to you? Like, what do you think about these ones for Commander?
Divizit deck.
I mean, if you're a Charm deck and an Invisit deck, they're obviously good. But would you play any of them just like as an Orzhov card or as a Boros card or I guess whatever, Lorehold card? Like, would you play them as just generic good cards in Commander? Or not really. They're more 60 card focused.
I would 100% play Lorehold Charm. Right, because then you are very
you
likely
really
to
like
an Lorehold artifact.
Charm.
It's also
you really
each
like
opponent,
Lorehold Charm.
So it's Vow of opponent. Wilderness or something. Like we have a green version of this. So I actually think the Artifact Edict. It is a little awkward that you're mostly gonna snipe people's mana rocks probably rather than good stuff. But still, like
awkwardly,
I think getting each opponent's
that.
Nice.
Man,
basically
me?
A stone rain, triple stone rain for two mana
in the early turns. Like that's huge.
What do you think, Richard? Commander cards or not? Nah?
Nothing. I would never play unless it's literally something that requires like pips, like you know, Niv-Mizzet. I cannot see you playing any of these. You need the synergy of the deck to really prop this up.
I feel like Witherbloom is maybe the best just because of the sack to draw mode. I could see that being good in a Golgari
shell. We have like
shell.
800 like, of those cards, Seth. Do we need
but
another
you also
one?
Get a little removal? What if I need to gain 5 life, Richard?
Yeah,
I
can see. Like,
if
you're Golgari, you're already playing all these cards. So like, yeah, right? Might as well put
toss
it in
one
but,
more.
It's one of those, like, if I find one, I'll add it to my deck. I'm not going to run out and buy it. Like, it's not that much of an upgrade over the existing ones.
So, those are the charms. We got one other official spoiler. I know there's been some leak stuff. So we're not going to talk about the leaks. We're going to wait till they officially come out tomorrow, and then we'll talk about them next week. But we did get one other official spoiler. Yeah, we got a couple of lower rarity cards I don't care about. But one other one I care about, and I want to see what you guys think, of Together is One. So Together is One, it is a 6-mana colorless sorcery. It has Converge. So, and then it says, target player draws X cards. Together as One deals X damage to any target, and you gain X life, where X is the number of colors of mana spent to cast this. So essentially, if you use all 5 colors of mana, it's 6 mana, deal 5, draw 5, gain 5, is sorcery speed, colorless, so you can play it in literally any deck. I'm not sure how good that, like, the text of this card reads strong. Like, 6 mana, draw 5, deal 5, gain 5 seems good. I'm very paranoid that it's not going to be good because it's sorcery speed, so your opponent can just spider sense or negate or, like, whatever it. Like, there's a lot of ways to interact with it. What do you guys think? Is this, like, the next big finisher for some 5-color deck? Is this card even playable at all? What do you think of Together as One?
Let me read this one more time. There's okay. You go, Richard. You go.
It's a 6-mana sorcery with Converge, draw X, deal X, gain X.
Basically, yes.
Because it's 6 mana, I would say it's just unplayable. If it was X, so that I could somehow do this for 2 or like 3, then we could be talking. But at 6 mana, like I guess the closest would be like some terrible Sphinx's Revelation. I guess more efficient Sphinx's Revelation, right? But
it's sorcery.
But capped. It is
sorcery,
sorcery,
right? Can we afford to be doing that in this day and age where you hit the top of your curve and all you're doing is removing one threat and drawing a bunch of cards? Especially given that you're a 5C deck somehow, I don't think this is good enough. Like, I think at this point, you need to end the game. And this doesn't really end the game. So I don't think so. Especially because you're a 5C deck. Like, your mana base is terrible to begin with, right? Like, your payoff needs to be great. And this is whatever. I would actually like this if it was X. And maybe you draw X minus 1 or something. But, like, you go, like, X equals 3, deal 2 damage, draw 2 cards, gain
so
2
more
life.
More flexibility.
Yeah, because, like, that was the whole point of Sphinx's Rev, right? You could fire it off for 4, 5, whatever. If it was always, like, you have to do it for 6 and sorcery speed, I don't think it would see play. And that was a different era too. I don't know that we can spend our 6 mana turn doing this and passing it back, you know. Like, it seems a little risky.
Go ahead, Graham, go ahead.
This is a Commander card, right? Like, this is definitely a Commander card. And even then, I don't
even
know how
to
play it. Like, a 5-color Commander deck, maybe that, like, it's fun there.
I bet it's great in colorless Commander decks, right? Because you can make color is a mana outside your color identity. So you can use your mana rocks to make the colors and play this as your one of your card drawn removal spells. So I think maybe colorless decks.
I don't know about that.
How much color mana can you make outside your colorless deck?
You got your Dark Stealing Gets Richard and your Skyclave Relics and so
all
forth.
Right. I can draw two cards and deal two damage if I assemble those specific cards.
I'm not sure that's a good play. I think colorless decks definitely don't want this, right? I find that I do actually need the colorless type, and or there's just not enough payoff to really make me load my deck up with pointless like mana rocks or something.
What do you guys think of? I've heard speculation. So the first thing I saw when this card was spoiled was people being like, why is this six mana? There's five colors. That doesn't make any sense. Shouldn't it be five mana? And then people were like, aha, when we go to Reality Fracture, they're going to finally add the color purple to Magic. And then this is going to be a draw six, gain six, deal six.
No way. Do you
put any weight in the tinfoil hat theories going around that this is actually foreshadowing purple entering Magic, the long-awaited sixth color with Reality Fracture in a few months?
Even if it were true, I would not play this. the sixth color does not change. You can add a seventh color. I don't care.
If they made purple, everyone would play purple, okay? Like, everyone would play purple, regardless of how good or bad it was.
Yeah,
just because they want the new purple basics. But, nah, this is just, they needed to be at six mana, and having it be, like, one generic X and then converge on the X just looks weird. So they did it like this, but I cannot imagine they did this for purple. Like I don't know. It's like, was Tarmogoy foreshadowing battles? Like, I don't know, right? Like,
yeah, okay.
Plus, we'd have a lot bigger. I think they would just be more in your face. You know what I mean? Like, the card would be like, is purple coming? The coming of purple or something, right? You know what I mean? They would really hype up adding a new color to Magic, I think.
Yeah, maybe. I remember going to the local game store, opening a World Wake pack and getting an Eye of Ugin and being like, what the F is an Eldrazi? Like, they didn't spoil. No one knew what an Eldrazi was. And here's this card that's like, you're Eldrazi, you're cheaper, tutor up your Eldrazi. I'm like, I don't even know what that is. So we have seen them do very subtle things like that in the past. But yeah, I guess you're right. They'll probably be hyping it up if purple was coming. Plus, they first said something about purple in like 1997, or it's been almost 30 years that purple has been this weird rumored thing that they could do someday. So the odds that it actually is going to happen now is probably not very high.
I mean, if there's one thing that I'll add a little, fire to it, is that they did, what is it? One of the panels, I think Mauro said that there's something coming in Reality Fracture. I can't remember if it's like a mechanic or something.
It was going to be super innovative. And I remember also, Mauro, with all this hype, something I haven't ever seen before. Like some, yeah.
Yeah, they, and I quote,
it's purple.
They said it couldn't be done.
Well, purple. It's purple. It's
Is
coming,
it purple?
Richard.
Like, I mean,
it's purple.
We don't even have colors anymore. We just have one color because of Commander, right? Like every... color can do everything now. Like, what is the, like, our 4C commanders are like, why is this 4C? Like, what is it? Like, what is the purpose of it? You know, like, so.
Oh, yeah, I guess that would screw over.
I feel this commanders is not happening. I mean, they could never do it, right? It'd only be like a one set thing, unless they're gonna start printing like 30 years of purple cards, you know, like that color would not be balanced, right? So, I don't think we would do it. Then plus, Commander, etc., etc. So, I don't think we ever go there, but. Who knows? Maybe Wizards just gets desperate. It's the easiest way to sell cards. Here's Swords to Plowshares, but purple.
A purple, yeah.
Right?
Black Lotus.
Here's Rhystic Study.
Only makes purple.
That would be,
but purple.
Yeah, but if they go that route, that'd be such a disappointment because you're not supposed to make it just another color, right? It needs to bring something new to the game.
We gotta go Dawn Minus, Crib. Dawn Minus New Rage. All new games make you go down resources. So we gotta flicker our lands. We gotta suspend our lands for two turns or something. Like, that's the new mechanic for purple.
I swear, if we have to start recycling mana, or I mean tucking our lands to do like to pay for the purple pip or something, that'd be kind of wild.
Like, One Piece does it, Riftbound does it. It's all about land destructioning yourself. That's the meta. Like, that's gonna be the new purple.
Oh, well, we will see in a few months when we go to Reality Fracture. But those are Strixhaven spoilers. And now it's time for the first time in a minute for a fish mail question. So this question comes to us from Paladinosaur. Says, hey guys, Paladinosaur here. I built my own Lessons Monument deck when Avatar came out, and I wrote it for a good month or two to great success. Then I ended up winning Worlds, and I was stoked. I had made a similar deck to the top pros, but then everyone started packing so much hate afterwards that I could hardly win games anymore. My question is, do you keep playing a deck like that through all the hate and all the metagaming? Do you switch it up when it's not working well? I know meta changes are inevitable, but just wondering how the average platish player could handle stuff like this. So what is your advice to someone who's trying to play competitively and builds a deck, and then the deck ends up essentially getting hated on severely because it has pro success? Do you keep rolling with it? Do you switch it up? Do you build something different? Do you update it in some way? What do you guys think?
As a Dimir mid-range player, I will firmly tell you that I think you should play the deck you know best. And if you like the deck and if it's fun for you, because of how diverse and wide open Standard is, I think that you could still just play whatever deck you like. Right now, at least, Lessons, it's not like Lessons is this like bad deck, right? It's not like some tier 5 deck. Even if you're prepared for it and people are accounting for it, A, how will they play into it? B, like, you know, how much are they respecting it, right? And you know, actually, the A point is really how well do you pilot it and how well do you know it? And does it bring you fun? If that's the case, if it brings you the most joy, just play it. I know when everyone is memeing on Dimir midrange that this is unplayable deck. People who play midrange at a tournament is on pure copium. Maybe, but that's all I know. And this is what I love. And so I'm going to play the hell out of this until the wheels fall off.
What do you think, Richard? What's your advice?
I think switch. The fact that you bring it up means you're not having fun, right? If we're not. Okay, here's a sweaty answer, right? If you're in plat, you can probably figure out a way to beat these decks that counter you, right? Like, you can probably improve, like, gameplay-wise, but that involves, you know, actually trying to improve your gameplay. Like, what's the sideboard you need to update, and, you know, what's the game plan? But, like, that's very sweaty and time-consuming, and not everyone enjoys that. But if you're just like, wow, I'm getting, like, cheese countered by these random decks, just change decks. Like, you're playing Magic to have fun, right? You're on Arena. It's relatively easy to do that. But whenever you play a meta deck, right, everyone will be gunning for you, right? Like, everyone knows that's, like, one of the best decks. You know, they'll either pre-board or sideboard against your deck. So you either suck it up and deal with it, which you probably can, because your deck is a top deck for a reason, right? Your deck is a top deck because it can handle all of these things. But if you're like, oh, that's too much work, right? This is not a job. You're playing for fun, right? Just switch decks, right? Like, no problem. Like, you know, is it Lessons? It's not going to blacklist you or something because you switched off of it, okay? It's like, fine, right? You can just switch off of it.
The Discord, though, right? Richard, the Is It Lessons Discord is cutting me off.
Have fun, right? Just have fun.
I think I kind of agree with both of you to some extent. The thing I would add is, I think it also depends on what kind of player you are. I think when it comes to constructed players, there's brewers who like building their own decks, and that's part of the joy they get out of it. And then there's tuners who like trying to optimize, like, existing decks, or in some cases their own deck. So I think it depends on, like, what you enjoy. If you're someone who just enjoys building decks, I would definitely say just scrap Lessons and build something else. I'm definitely on the brewer side, where I don't even play a deck for that long anyway. So just being like, oh, I played this for a couple months, I'm like, I never play a deck for a couple months. I play for like a day or a week, and then I'm on to the next deck. So if you play like that, then I think building another deck is the obvious choice. But if you're someone who really enjoys tuning, there might be some upside from the deck doing well at the Pro Tour, because now you have a ton of these like battle-tested Pro Tour lists that you can look through and be like, oh, maybe if I add this to my sideboard, maybe this fixes some of the issues and gets me some more wins. So I think it really depends, like Krim said, on what you enjoy. And like Richard said, like, how spiky are you trying to be? Do you even really care? Like, you know, how are you trying to play the game? So I think that's where I land. And I think overall, it's what lets you have fun, right? Like, when it comes down to it, if you're not having fun, then do something different, because that's the reason we play Magic to begin with. So,
and anyway, competitively, it is so wide open that, again, this is like, oh, well, yeah, sure, you could say that if you don't care about how well you do. But this format is open enough to where all the decks can be competitive. There's so much like viability especially in anything, is it?
So, yeah, there's so many different is it decks you can play at the moment. But anyway, that's our fish mail for this week. Richard, how do people send in fish mail for future episodes?
All right, hit us up at MTG Goldfish with the hashtag MTG Fishmail, and we'll get to your questions on air.
And I believe that brings us to the end of episode 581 of the MTG Goldfish podcast. So Richard Grimm, thanks for hanging out. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to our sponsors for supporting the show. And we'll be back next week to talk Secrets of Strixhaven spoilers and whatever else goes on in the world of Magic. So until then, have a wonderful week, everyone. And this is a crew signing out.